Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Again, I want to welcome everybody here this morning. Appreciate you being here as we worship the Lord together. And again, for those of you, I didn't have my microphone on when I made the announcements earlier. So welcome all of you who are with us this morning online and worshiping with us there. We appreciate each one of you being with us. We are continuing with our study on transformation. Before we do that, though, I have a couple of things to tell you. I forgot to tell you about Holloway. Holloway called me this morning, and he's just really sore and just not feeling really well today, so that's why he's not here with us this morning. So please add Holloway to your prayer list. Also, immediately after our services this morning, we're going to be having a fellowship meal, so we'll encourage everyone to stay and enjoy the food afterwards. And also, along with that, we have a celebrity guest appearance, okay? And so Jimmy Uzzell Jr. is our graduate this year, and so we're going to be congratulating him in that. So please plan to stay for our fellowship time. Next Sunday, this is just a reminder to everyone who has a father, okay? And that's everybody in here, right? Okay, yeah. Whether your father is still with us or not, you have a father. And next Sunday is a special day set aside to remember our father. So keep that in mind. Our fourth Sunday fellowship this month, on the 26th, 5 o'clock in the fellowship hall, we're going to be doing homemade pizzas. All right, so you get to come and make your own pizza, and we'll have the I'll provide the dough and the sauce, and you bring whatever it is you would like to have on your pizzas. And so we'll share that time. We'll do some singing along with that. Just have a fun time of making and eating pizzas. All right, so that's our plans for the remainder of this month. Okay, we've been talking about transformers, and one of the things that I've been pointing out is the difference between this kind of a transformer, which is some kind of a vehicle, a car, or a truck that transforms into some kind of a super machine and so on and so forth. The problem with this kind of transformer is that after they've done whatever it is they're supposed to do, they transform back into being a car or a truck or whatever. So when we're talking about transformers, that's not the kind of transformers that we want to be, because we don't want to go back, okay? Instead, we want to transform in a way that I refer to as butterfly transformation, where we allow God to take us from being wherever we are to where He wants us to be. And that is a process that goes on for the rest of our lives. Okay? It is a process of being transformed into the image of Christ Jesus. But again, remember, we never go back to where we were. Okay? So it's always moving forward. So here's one of the questions that we've been discussing in this series of lessons. First of all, what is that transformation process? Okay? And then secondly, how does it work? And then, this is the most important question, what does that transformation look like? Okay? And we've been talking about all kinds of different areas of life. We started out talking about marriage and family. What does a transforming marriage look like? What does a transforming parent-child relationship look like? We talked about neighbors. What does it look like for us to be transforming neighbors? In other words, neighbors who are transforming more and more into the image of Christ. What does that look like? We talked about being friends, the kind of friends that are transforming into the image of Christ. And we're looking at bosses, and today we're going to talk about employees. We also talked about the church. What does a transforming church look like? You see? As we allow Christ to transform us as a body into more and more of what He wants us to be. So we're looking and seeking and striving to be transformers, okay? Those who are being transformed into the image of Christ. And today we're going to talk about employees. Okay? What does a transforming employee look like? All right? What does that look like? What should it look like according to the Bible? Okay? So, I have this question here. And we're going to look at this question in two different ways, emphasizing two different words. Because the word that you emphasize in this question can really change the meaning of the question somewhat. All right? So, let's first look at this question. What are you working for? Okay? In other words, that someone might say, why do you work? What are you working for? And we have a lot of that going on today. Okay? We have a lot of people who simply don't want to work and are not working. They refuse to work. And part of that is because they don't have to. All right? If they don't work, they, you know, hey, other people will take care of me. The government will take care of me. Welfare over working. See? I think one of the worst things that has happened since the coronavirus came in was all this coronavirus relief and so forth that has been paying people not to work. Okay? I have several friends of mine who own restaurants, and they cannot get employees to come to work. Okay? And again, there's why should I go to work when I make more money staying at home? Okay, that's the attitude. So we have this problem that's going on in our culture here in America today, that people are going, why should I work? See? And so that question, what are you working for? People are everywhere. There are signs up. We're hiring. People are looking for workers. So the excuse why I can't find a job is not a valid excuse any longer. Okay? Because in this day and age, the jobs are plentiful if you want one. Okay? And then there's the problem, as I've talked with some of my friends who are in restaurant business, that will, you know, have this kind of a thing. They have employees that complain about not getting enough hours at work, but then they show up later, they call in and say, I can't come in today. You see? And then there's the problem of those who are at work and aren't actually working. They're spending their time texting or taking selfies or doing anything else but working, because there's a lot of people who have the attitude that says, really all I need to do is attend. And you should pay me for attending. You say, well, what does the Bible have to say about that kind of a problem and that kind of an attitude? There are some warnings that the Scriptures give us, okay? We go to Proverbs chapter 6, Proverbs 6 rather, verses 6 through 11. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. Okay. Wise man. Work. Get up there and work. Do what you need to be doing. In Proverbs 10 and verse 4, lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. Alright, again, encouragement for us to do what we need to be doing, to be working. Proverbs 12, verse 11, he who works works his land, will have abundant food. But he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. All right? Look at what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica about working. And he was in this, just before these words, talked some about the whole idea of what he was doing in terms of working to provide for his own needs and so forth. All right? He says, "For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, if a man will not work, he shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy, they are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat." So, you see, this whole idea of letting someone else take care of me because I don't want to have to work is totally unbiblical. It goes against everything that God tells us. Now, should we get rid of welfare and those things? Absolutely not. Because we have some people who can't work, you say, and they need help. And we as a society and we as a church should do everything we can to help those people who can't work, you say. That's not the folks that we're really talking about here. We're talking about those who can and just won't. Okay? And we need to understand, they need to understand, that's not acceptable to God. When it comes to this whole issue of being a transforming employee, we have responsibilities before God, okay, concerning working and doing what we can to provide for ourselves and for our families. Okay, let's look at this question, same question, and emphasize a different word. Okay? In this case, it is, what are you working for? Okay? So, we're working, but what are we working for? What are we trying to achieve? What are we trying to accomplish? What is the focus of why we are working? And we look over in John chapter 6, and John 6 is where John records for us the events of, first of all, Jesus feeding 5,000 people, and then he left the folks, and then he came back. They found him, and Jesus confronts them because they're, well, where'd you go? And Jesus confronts them by saying to them, you're looking for me because you ate the bread and had your fill. And then look at what he says. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. So, what is Jesus trying to tell these folks who are chasing after him because they have their stomachs filled? And he's challenging them with this thought, okay? It really is an attitude that focuses on eternal things first. Don't be more concerned with your stomach than you are with your eternal life, okay? If we're only focused on earthly stuff, in other words, if that's what we're working for, so we can have more stuff, then we're missing the point. Okay, you see the bumper stickers that say, he who dies with the most toys wins? Okay, that's the worldly concept that says, that's why I'm working, so I can get as much stuff as I want to have. And Jesus is saying, that's the wrong approach to working. Because you're working for things that will spoil. Things that will not endure. Instead, work for things that will endure to eternal life. So what is our focus? It really is a question of earthly things versus heavenly things. That's what Jesus is calling upon us to focus on. See? There's more to life than this life. And that's what we have to understand and keep in mind as we are working. What are we working for? Is it just so that we can have food to eat and a place to live and clothes to wear? Or are we working for eternal life? It's an important distinction between those two. In Matthew, Jesus says this, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So you work and you work and you work and you get all the stuff you can possibly own. You become the richest person in the world. And you lose your soul. What have you accomplished? Not a thing. Not a thing. Okay. So we really need to consider that question. What are we working for? All right? What is our, put it this way, what is our end game? You say, what's the end game here? Right? If it doesn't go beyond this world, then it's the wrong end game. All right? Now, let's take a look at the passage that we read as we began this morning. And just for the sake of our study this morning, look at the word slaves in this passage and think employees. Okay? All right? Now, I know that a lot of people have worked and they're working in jobs where they feel like they're a slave, okay? They're working and they're, you know, but so how does that fit into us being transforming employees? So think about, as we look at this passage through, think about it in terms of wherever it says slaves, put the word employee in there and see what is it telling us, okay? In Ephesians 6, verses 6 through 8, and Colossians chapter 3, 22 through 25, a parallel passage, okay, both of them say very similar things there. That's what we want to consider, all right? So you substitute the word employee for slaves in that, all right? So take a look at what it says. Ephesians 6, 5 through 8, slaves or employees, okay, obey your earthly boss with respect and fear and with, look at this, sincerity of heart. Just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like employees of Christ, doing the will of God, again, where? From your heart. Serve wholeheartedly. Do you see a theme here? You see? That our work and our attitude about our work needs to be proper from where? From the heart. You see? It needs to be a heart issue here. And you serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is an employee or a boss. Okay? Either one. We're going to talk about bosses next week, by the way, okay? All right? In the text in Colossians, Paul wrote this, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. So what's the principle here that Paul wants us to understand if we are workers, if we're employees? He wants us to, first of all, understand that our heart, the attitude of our heart, first of all, makes a big difference to God. Okay? And secondly, that attitude of our heart will help us to focus. What if you have a boss who is really bad to work for? And you just like, I hate this guy or this girl, this woman. I don't want to work there. I don't like it. Whatever the other feelings you have and so forth. Well, what do you do with that? Well, at the very least, what you do is you look at it and say, I'm not working for them. I'm working for the Lord. See? Whatever the circumstance that you are at in your work, okay, whether it's a good situation or a bad situation, see, if you look at it from the perspective of that you are working for the Lord, not for men, see, that changes the whole attitude of what you are trying to do. Okay? So Paul is telling us it's a hard issue, and we need to be looking at it as that we're, first of all, we're working for the Lord. I'm not working just for this person. I'm working for the Lord. And that should make all the difference in the world as to how I am doing my work. Okay? Look at what Paul wrote to Timothy in instructions to give to the Christians of that day. He said, those who have believing masters, okay, or bosses, are not to show less respect for them because they are brothers. Instead, they are to serve them even better, because those who benefit from their services are believers and dear to them. These are the things you are to teach and urge on them. So, in other words, and I've seen this happen where, you know, we got, you know, people in the church who own business or what have you, and they get people in the church working for them, and those workers kind of like, oh, yeah, hey, I can do whatever because they're my brother or sister in Christ, you see? And so they're not being responsible the way they do. They're taking advantage of the relationship with brothers and sisters in Christ. And basically what Paul is saying here is, no, that's wrong. That's wrong to be doing that, to have that kind of attitude. You need instead to have the attitude that says, hey, first of all, I'm blessed to have this job, okay? Amen. And secondly,
yeah,
it's great that I can work to help benefit my brother or sister in Christ that owns this business or that is my boss or what have you.
Amen.
And that's the kind of attitude that we should be having as employees. Okay? The final part here is asking this question. Okay? If we look at working, that we need to be working, okay? And what are we working for? What is our focus on in our work? Then this question is the result. What kind of worker then are you? Okay? Look at yourself and ask, what kind of worker am I? All right? Look at what Jesus has to say in Luke chapter 12 in talking about, again, servants, slaves, same word in the original language, okay, and managers or bosses or masters or what have you. He says, the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household? To give them their portion of the food in due season, blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. So the main context of what Jesus is talking about here is for us to always be ready for when he comes back again. Okay? That's the context that he's dealing with. But within that context, we see this principle that he's saying that in the work that our master, that is God, has given us to do, we need to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Okay? That we're following his instructions and in doing what he has given us to do. The same thing applies, because, you know, that's what he's written here. The same thing applies to our work, the jobs that we have. You have a boss who's given you tasks to do, okay, your job. What should your attitude be about doing your work? Okay, remember what we saw over in Ephesians, the attitude we should have about working, whether his eye is on you or whether he's not. In other words, as long as he's watching you, you're working. But as soon as the manager leaves, you go, okay, kick back and do nothing. You see? Or take advantage of other fellow workers and things of that nature. Okay? And that's what he talks about next. If that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour when he is not aware, and he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the believers. So you see what he's saying here. If you are an employee and you're taking advantage of the situation, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, and not only that, but you're causing problems for other workers, and especially when the boss isn't around, when the boss comes back, there's going to be problems for you. And as transforming employees, that should never be the case with us. You say? Should never be the case with us. So what kind of worker are you? Okay? And there's that in his heart, you see. Goes all the way back to the heart, doesn't it? All right? Now, here's the question. Are you transforming into a Christ-like worker? Now, some of you, because I know that you are already retired, okay, and you're kind of like, you know, well, Russ, I appreciate the things that you said, but this doesn't really apply to me, does it? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. If you are working at all, full-time, part-time, and even this, do you ever volunteer at some organization or group to help out? Well, isn't that work that you are doing? Maybe you're not getting paid for it, but hey, you're supposed to be doing a certain job, right? How much is the Sojourners going to pay you guys for all the stuff you're doing? Totally volunteer, isn't it? But do you not have guidelines and have things that you're supposed to do that they've said, okay, if you want to be part of this, here's what we need you to do. Okay? All of us from time to time find ourselves stepping in and helping, volunteering for somebody, and it's, you know, we're not usually the one who's in charge of it. Somebody is telling us, here's what I need for you to do. So all of these principles that we've just talked about apply to the same thing. If you go to the hospital and you're working there as a volunteer at the hospital or at the library or what have you, all of these same things apply to that. You say, what kind of worker are you? Are you doing what they expect you to do, what they need you to do, what they've told you to do? Are you doing whatever it is you want to do? Okay. A transforming worker, employee, will be doing what it is expected of them by the person they're working for, whether they're getting paid for it or whether they're just volunteering. Okay. It really is all about recognizing what our responsibility is in whatever task it is that we've been given to do. And then ultimately, hear me on this part, okay, every single one of us has been called to be a worker for the Lord. Okay? We all have a job to do. Okay? It's not just, you know, well, Ruff, but you're the minister. Yes, I am. Okay? I have different duties and responsibilities than you do. But you are supposed to be working for the Lord also. Okay? And again, all these things that we've been talking about apply to that relationship. So again, what kind of worker are you? Are you a transforming worker? Okay? Being transformed more and more to be like Christ as you work, part-time, full-time, volunteer, or as you are working for the Lord. It's all about being transformed by Jesus to be more and more like Him. Tom has a song that he has chosen for us to use as an invitation song. And while we're singing this song, I want you to be thinking about whatever capacity you are in. Okay, part-time, full-time, volunteer, working for the Lord, are you seeking to allow Christ to transform you into the kind of worker that He wants you to be? If anybody has a need, a prayer request, or that you would like for us to address, this opportunity is here to do that. And if there's anyone who's not yet a Christian and ready to become one, then all you got to do is let us know. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that today, right now. Those of you who are with us online, if there's someone there who is not yet a Christian, you want to become one, all you got to do is contact us and let us know, and we will make that happen as soon as is possible with you. The opportunity is available, and so I encourage everyone, to